In 2001, the U.S. government granted more than 200,000 migrants from El Salvador temporary protected status after a pair of earthquakes struck their country. TPS gave the Salvadorans a way to work legally in the United States, to build lives, to raise families. On January 8th, the Trump administration ended TPS for the Salvadoran migrants. Now they have to figure out a way to remain here legally or return to El Salvador by September 2019. Salvadorans say even though TPS was granted because of the earthquakes, being here in this nation has saved them from the gangs and the violence in El Salvador. Immigration attorney Brad Mays is here with us now, along with his former client, Norma. She and her husband came to the United States from El Salvador 25 years ago. Both have TPS. All three of their kids were born here in the U.S. One is here with us now. Norma's daughter, Kenya, is a junior at Wayne State University studying psychology. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Norma, you've got TPS. You've had all of these years in the United States. Tell us something about the life that you and your husband have built here.
We came here when we was very young. So we decided to stay here and work hard and give to my kids the best we can. So
yeah, what kind of jobs do you have?
We do floor installations.
Three children?
Three children, yes.
And what ages are they?
Well, my oldest, she's 23. My second one, he's a boy, and he's 17. And my baby girl, she's 9.
Did you have any inkling, any hint at all that Homeland Security was going to end the TPS for you and the some 260,000 other Salvadorans who've been living here?
When the everything beginning, when I hear the Honduras have canceled Haiti, I know we are next.
And so, when you heard the news that it was Salvadorans, what did you think? What did you feel?
Well, I feel betrayed because Salvadorian, we here because we don't have no choice. We don't have no choice at all.
Why?
Because our country, they don't give us any chance, any opportunity to grow up, to get some education. The other way, nobody risked their life to come here. Nobody. I risked my life.
When you were granted, Norma, temporary protected status, TPS, what were you thinking in terms of how long it would last and when and if you would go back to El Salvador?
Be honest with you, when they allow to have a driver's license, Social Security, we don't thought they would be canceled. They never say nothing about cancellation. I know that's not forever. It's not a green card, but anyway, it is a chance, and we take it.
And you were 16 when you came here.
Yes.
So you truly did feel like you've grown up here.
Yeah.
Kenya, what about you and your brother and your little sister when you heard this news about this TPS being revoked? How did that hit you?
The day that it hit me, I was sitting on the floor, and I was looking at my phone, and I saw on Facebook, I saw posts that everyone was posting things, and I looked it up, and it was true. I was at home alone, I sat on the floor, and I just cried. And at that moment, my mom called me like she knew, and I told her that it was revoked. So I was just crying, I was just sitting there and crying, she was just telling me it'll be okay. It'll be okay. So it hit me hard. My siblings right now really don't understand. My brother doesn't really understand. He's just living his life the way it is because that's what we're trying to do, making him feel normal. And my sister doesn't know anything. So I'm basically the one that's suffering the most because I'm their backup. So it hit me hard.
Brad, I get the sense this kind of story that we're hearing is being repeated in homes all over Michigan right now.
Yeah, it is. As an immigration lawyer, I run across a lot of amazing people, but really those who are recipients of TPS and DACA. And we have to remember that these people have been in the United States for sometimes 20, 25 years. In Norma's case, she's been here since she was 16 years old. She's grown up here. She's bought two houses here. She has three U.S. citizen kids. She has her own business. She's paying taxes. So she is a fabric of our community. She is a part of our economic powerhouse. She's part of our social networks. We all are affected by DACA and TPS and the recipients. one thing to remember is that it's not only the recipients that we have to think about, but it's the kids, like Kenya. Now, Kenya's a young woman now. She's 23 years old. Many TPS recipients have younger kids, and there are upwards of 300,000 U.S. citizen children of these TPS recipients in the United States right now. So it affects a wide range and a huge, huge community. As for Michigan, we have thousands of TPS recipients in this state, from Nicaragua, from El Salvador, from Honduras, from Haiti, from Nepal. And all of these people are contributing in some way to our community. There was a study that over 80% of TPS recipients are employed. 87% speak English. So these are not people that are on the outlining of the community, and to lose them would be just a travesty.
You know, as you spell out all the ways that Norma and her husband have built a life in this country, living and working in the U.S. and paying taxes and three citizen children, that gives them doesn't give them any shot at getting a green card?
No, TPS is temporary. I mean, when it was established years ago, it was in response to the natural disaster in El Salvador. Mm-hmm. Now, over the years, it's been re-upped by subsequent administrations because they realized that really El Salvador hasn't gotten off its feet. And in fact, things have gotten worse there. Yes, perhaps the conditions have changed since the initial reason why TPS was given, but there really must be some way to try and solve this problem, to try and keep these people here. It is bad policy to kick out people who have been here for 25 years, who have contributed to our economy and to our community, to just summarily kick them out.
So what options exist for Norma and other Salvadorans?
Well, some people are going to have to leave. And Norma and her husband are in that category of people that may have to just leave. They have decided that they are going to have their children stay here because it's just too dangerous for them to go back. The opportunities aren't there for schooling. As Norma mentioned, it's a very dangerous society. You have to pay rent or bribes to criminal gangs, organized crime to stay alive, to stay afloat. The environment that their kids would be subjected to in El Salvador is just too terrible for them to even consider bringing their kids. So they're stuck with a situation where they have to affirmatively split their family. And that is just an un-American thing to force these people to do.
As people come here through TPS, as you say, it was always renewed. It was almost like de facto protective, here you are. But did you work out in your mind what it would mean to these people when and if the government decided time is temporary and time is up?
Really, it's only since the Trump administration came in that we've had to really counsel our clients as to that they need to look at different options. Some may have options, many do not, especially those who are where there's a family where both are recipients of TPS, and they both have to leave.
Norma, what kind of conversations as parents have you and your husband had with Kenya and her brother and sister since this news came down?
Well, the first thing, we always say this, education is the key. So we always, always talk about that. Doesn't matter how hard it is, but they have to get a good education. And we did. We saved money for them. We worked hard for them because they are the future. They are American citizens. We always talk about that. And we say, if we have to leave, I want you keep living the way I teach you. Keep in mind, you are the future. You are, you know, a parent now because you have a younger sister. And you have to do the same thing that I do for you. I know that it's not fair for her. She's in time where life is good for her. And she doesn't have to have this. And I explain it. I'm sorry to put you in this situation. And I told her all the time, I feel sorry because you're not supposed to do this. But we don't have no choice now.
So, Kenya, I know we're looking ahead to September 2019 for the deadline for people to have to leave. What are you talking about as far as what's next if your mom and dad do have to go?
So, right now, I am still studying, and I am going to keep on studying as much as I can until that deadline comes up. So when that deadline comes up, I have at least a degree, and I could work, and I'll be able to take over what my parents are leaving. If they were here, I would be able to go on and live the way I'm supposed to be living instead of taking over another, like my own family and raising them as mine. So I have to be the mother and the father to my both siblings and having them grow up under my umbrella.
Brad, do Kenya and her brother and sister as American citizens have any options? I know we kind of agreed that Norma and her husband don't. Is there anything that can be done from the children up to try to keep their parents here?
There is, in theory, a way for Norma and her husband to become green card holders through Kenya, but it may require them to leave the United States and be separated from their children for up to 10 years.
And Brad, do you feel that the American government, federal government, bears any responsibility for this situation?
Again, we have to have sound policy that reflects what we have on the ground. We have many people here, not just TPS recipients, but many people here who have been here for many years, who have been paying taxes, who are crime-free, who have raised beautiful families, who have businesses. We have to find a way to keep these people here. We have to find a way to stabilize that aspect of our community. This immigrant community right now is living in fear. Getting to some numbers as to how TPS recipients and how the revocation of TPS will affect, you know, all 13 countries which are under TPS. And they found that the loss of GDP over 10 years would be $175 billion if all these TPS recipients have to go home. The loss of contributions to Medicaid and Social Security would be $7.5 billion. There would be $1 billion in turnover costs for employers to try and replace TPS recipients. Again, this is a community. These communities, 80% of them are employed. 10 to 15% of them have their own businesses and are employing other people. So it just, the policy has to be sound. It has to reflect what we see on the ground. The fact is that there are many people who are going to be split apart from their families. There are many children who know nothing but America who are going to have to go back with their families to El Salvador. It's just a really, really poorly thought out policy change.
Brad Mays, immigration attorney, and Norma and Kenya, thanks to both of you for being here and sharing your story.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia.